Pennsylvania lawmakers make no secret of the fact that the state budget due Friday will be hard to enact. The Commonwealth is contending with a roughly $3 billion structural deficit, and its reserves are tapped out. It also faces skyrocketing pension and human services costs, and for the last year, it's been relying on a line of credit from the Pennsylvania Treasury to pay off immediate expenses. WHYY's Katie Meyer takes a look at how the last 8 years have shaped the Commonwealth's financial outlook.
You know what? Right now, breaking news here, stocks all around the world are tanking because of the crisis on Wall Street. Pauline Chu's.
The year was 2008. The governor was Ed Rendell, a two-term Democrat out of Philadelphia, and the housing market had crashed hard.
The FY 2009-2010 budget presents challenges the likes of which Pennsylvania and the nation have not seen since the Great Depression.
That's Rendell giving his first budget address of the recession to the legislature in February 2009. The spending plan wasn't passed until October, about 8 months later. It was 101 days over deadline, making Pennsylvania the last state to pass a budget that year. If you ask Rendell about that period now, he more or less brushes it off.
Yeah, they were all tough budgets.
But financial analysts, like Mark Ryan with the State Independent Fiscal Office, insist those years were particularly bad and that they left a thorny legacy.
So many of our current problems at least originated in that time period.
Muhlenberg College political analyst Chris Borick notes the woes weren't just financial. They cut to the core of what it means to govern.
It is more adversarial than in the past. Those working relationships within the legislature across party lines are different than they were even a decade ago.
When Rendell and a split-party legislature finally passed the 2009 spending plan, it leaned heavily on $2.6 billion in federal stimulus money, as did most states that year. It also drained the Commonwealth's $750 million rainy day fund and moved around various other cash pools to plug gaps. The plan cut spending by about $400 million, but raised state money for education by $300 million, something Rendell recalls with pride. The budget was balanced, technically. But looking back at the fiscal plans passed under Rendell post-crash and then under his successor, Republican Tom Corbett, Ryan says one constant stands out.
Generally, policymakers have used temporary measures such as existing fund balances and short-term expenditure deferrals to address ongoing budget shortfalls. However, a long-term imbalance is largely unaffected by temporary measures.
So he's saying, basically, for nearly a decade, the Commonwealth hasn't really been making the deals needed to balance a budget. Instead, it's often resorted to means referred to as gimmicks, knowingly underfunding programs, for instance, or borrowing money from one department to fill holes in another. But with little new revenue, such as tax hikes or meaningful cuts, a deficit has been growing all the while. Rendell notes he had some excuses for not using recurring revenues in his last two budgets. It was a severe recession, after all.
Stimulus in Pennsylvania worked perfectly because in the 2 years of the recession, it allowed us to not make major cuts in anything.
But when the federal dollars dwindled, so did that short-lived financial security. By the time Rendell left office in 2011, there was about a $1 billion surplus in the Commonwealth's general fund. But there was also a large structural deficit that Rendell's successor, the conservative Tom Corbett, inherited. As Corbett's longtime spokesman Michael Barley says,
he was facing a $4.2 billion deficit, one of the largest deficits our state's ever faced. He made a promise to the people of Pennsylvania he wasn't going to raise their taxes and deal with the situation, the fiscal situation he inherited.
So throughout Corbett's administration, the name of the game was sharp spending cuts. Education took the biggest hits when, after the stimulus money ran out, Corbett opted not to maintain the funding levels the system had seen under Rendell. Ryan notes those moves weren't quite enough to balance Pennsylvania's lack of new revenue under Corbett. That imbalance, coupled with a still struggling economy, forced the Republican and GOP lawmakers to use budgeting tricks that amounted to just moving the money around some more. And that can't go on forever, says Ryan of the state's IFO.
The rainy day fund has been utilized, and various one-time revenue sources have been used. So there's really many of the available fixes have been used to address past budgets.
Barley doesn't deny using some unsustainable revenues, but he says Corbett's budget methods were warranted.
Well, look, I mean, I believe that we used funds that were available, and there were one-time costs, but The governor made a pledge that he wasn't going to come to the taxpayers for broad-based tax increases, and he kept that promise.
That wasn't enough to keep him in office, though. Corbett's austerity spending proved unpopular, even within his own party. York County businessman Tom Wolf, a Democrat, pushed him out of office in 2014, winning on a promise to restore funding to state programs and tax the natural gas industry more heavily. But Wolf soon became bogged down by the Capitol's partisan divide. His first budget proposal was balanced on broad-based hikes to sales and personal income taxes. And as political analyst Chris Borick notes, the Republican-controlled House and Senate rejected it overwhelmingly.
We saw what happened to that. It went nowhere and actually probably derailed the early part of his administration.
That budget didn't get passed until 9 months past its deadline, a deadlock that damaged Wolf's relationship with the legislature and sank his poll numbers. Borick notes the fiscal plan that did pass, and the next one as well, didn't do much to pay down the state's debts.
Yeah, the state's done a good job of keeping itself open for business over the last few budget cycles. But in terms of a long-term plan, we're still wanting.
Negotiations on Wolf's third budget are now in what lawmakers hope are the final stages. But the blueprint so far is following a script similar to what's been done for almost a decade. Katie Meyer in Harrisburg.